Good morning, everyone. So we're gonna be spending the next almost hour talking about halachic issues, halachic and a little bit of history thrown in. It's going to be a bit, not in the parsha, but focusing on these issues of history and halacha. But I wanted to really start with a theoretical/personal anecdote. So theoretically speaking, about 9 years ago. A young undergraduate in Yeshiva College meets a wonderful young woman in Stern College. They start dating, and they get engaged, and everything's going well. And then they realize, wait a second, the chassan's name is identical to the name of the kala's father. So you might or might not think much of it, but in fact, there's a whole halachic discussion to be had about this theoretical scenario that might have some personal application. So we're going to be considering some of the various issues that come into play here. As it happens, as we're going to see, these halachic issues or para-halachic issues only start, they're first noted in the Sefer Hasidim in really the 12th, 13th century. So most halachic sugyas, you can go back to the psukim, you can go back to the gemara, you can find all the rishonim discussing it here. It has a very interesting trajectory, as we're going to see, because it's focused on one very limited group of rishonim, and then the question is how the achronim understand both this particular issue and some of the broader issues relating to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. So I guess we'll try to trace some of the sources on this issue, while also thinking about how it would play itself out in reality, and there is a happy ending, so don't worry about that. But let's jump right in. The Sefer Hasidim. We'll just say a word about the Sefer Hasidim. Our first two sources are from Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid and the Sefer Hasidim proper. Both of these works are from the Hasidei Ashkenaz. The Hasidei Ashkenaz was a group of people in Ashkenaz, centered around Regensburg and other areas in Germany, that had very particular views. And they were Hasidim. Not Hasidim when we think of Hasidim. That movement started several centuries later, but they had their own pietistic movement. They were called Hasidim as well. The primary figures, maybe the best well-known figure is Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, who has a tzava, has an ethical will that he wrote. But the Sefer Hasidim is a much longer and broader text or Sefer that's written by multiple people within Hasidei Ashkenaz. We're not sure exactly who wrote what, but it seems like Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid's father, Rabbi Shmuel HaChassid, played a major role, and his student, Rabbi Elazar Rokeach, the Rokeach, also played a major role in composing Sefer Hasidim. It talks about a lot of issues that are classical halachic issues that you'd find in the Shulchan Aruch, that you find in the Gemara, but it also talks about a bunch of issues that you won't necessarily find in more classical sources. What we're going to see today is an example of the latter, is an example of cases that really aren't discussed in the Gemara, or maybe they are, but in a very different way, don't really come up in Rishonim. But then the Sefer Hasidim, this group of Hasidei Ashkenaz, has certain very strong views, and we'll see how they're understood and how they're received later on. Just to give a little more history on the man of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, he lived from 1150 to 1217, so a very, very important 27 minutes there. And he may have been the author of Anim Zmiros, which we all know. That's a little debatable. He's actually quoted in Tosfos. He comes from the school, like many of the great scholars of Ashkenaz, he's from the school of the Balei HaTosfos. So he's quoted in a couple of places in Tosfos on Shas. They quote Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. He had many students, including the Or Zarua, the Maharami Rutenberg, who really played a major role in halacha. With all of that said, let's look at a couple of these sources, the first two sources on the sheet, that relate to our issue. So starting from Tzavas, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, from his ethical will, Lo yisa adam bas achiv o bas achoso. A person shouldn't marry their niece. Okay, keep that in mind. That'll be relevant in a little bit, not precisely relevant to the case we're talking about. But Kaf Gimel, the next line, Lo yisa adam isha sheshmo kishem imo. You know, a man shouldn't marry a woman whose name is the same as his mother's name. O shmo kishem chamiv. Or he shouldn't marry a woman who, you know, where his name would be the same as his father-in-law's name. So that's this theoretical scenario we've been talking about, right? So that's explicitly prohibited by the Sefer Hasidim. Lo yisa adam. V'im nisa'a, what if you did it already? What if you already got married? Yishan eshem ha'echad, you should change the name of one of those two, so they wouldn't have the same exact name. Ulai yesh tikva, maybe it'll be helpful. There's no assurances here. It's not necessarily going to work, but maybe, says the Sefer Hasidim, maybe that'll help. Okay, so that's, you know, pretty strong formulation here of the problem, right? There's a need to change it. It's prohibited to marry in such a case. Even if one does, you have to, there's a remedy one should try. Try to change your name, and it may or may not work. May or may not work for what? It's not exactly clear. What exactly are we worried about? We'll see more on that in a minute. And moving on to the next halacha, just to get a sense of the other halachos here, in context, Shnei b'nei Adam, sheshmosein shavim, lo yizdavgu yachad bialdehem. Two people with the same name shouldn't make a shidduch between their kids, right? So you shouldn't have the two machatanim, on the two sides, have the same names as each other either. So it's not just father-in-law, mother-in-law. It's not just husband, father-in-law, wife, mother-in-law, or a man marrying his niece. Those are all problems. And also having, the two machatanim have the same names as each other is also a problem. So there's a whole bunch more. Some of which are also in the Sefer Hasidim, a whole bunch of other cases, which don't have any earlier source to say that these would be marriages one shouldn't pursue, that the Sefer Hasidim or the Tzavaz Rida Chassid prohibits. So let's look at source number two, which gives a few more such examples and repeat some of ours as well. Shnei Achim Hanesuim Shnei Achayos, two brothers who are married to two sisters. Echamehem Yamus Olo Yatzlichu. Wow. So if two brothers marry two sisters, one of them is going to die, or at least they won't be successful. It's very bad. Lekach lo yisu, they shouldn't marry each other. O yigarish echam yames ishto nasa davarkach. If two brothers marry two sisters, they should immediately get divorced. One of them, right? It's a terrible, terrible thing according to Sefer Chassidim. Mechol gimel odalid shadar mevayis echad sheshmam echad lo yatzlichu ozara. Oh, and by the way, it's not just about marriage. It's right. It's just about even if you're just living in the same house with three or four people with people the same name, right? People rent an apartment, and four Yehudas rent an apartment. That's very bad. It's very dangerous. Okay, they won't be successful. Two afros the same Shabbos, very bad. One of them might even die. Wow. I assume this means in the same shul. Very, very strong language. Or maybe it won't be successful. Av v'ben hanesuim shtei achayos, the father and son marry two sisters. O emu bas shnei achim, mother and daughter marry two brothers. O adam shehisi bito la'achi ishto, a person who marries his daughter to his wife's brother, to his brother-in-law. V'chein ha'ishu almon v'yesh lo ben min nasa almana, a widower who has a son who marries a widow. V'yesh la bas, who has a daughter. Umasi bas ishto livno. O ben ishto levito, another complicated relationship like this. And now closer to our case, v'chein adam shelakach isha sheshmal Rivka, a man marries a woman named Rivka. O shem acher ubno lakach isha sheshmal Rivka, right? A father and son both marry women named Rivka, or right? The okay, uben v'no lakach isha sheshmal Rivka, and then the grandson also marries a woman called Rivka. Lo yatzlichu. Timzahilo lo titzlach shehi mishuleshes ohu mishulash sheish v'havabas v'bas habas lachol gimoshemos nimtzahu lo yatzliach v'harbe kiotzmeilo. So this case is a bit more complicated, right? He says it needs to be where three generations are the same name, right? A father or grandfather, father and grandson all marry women with the same name. If it's three generations of mishulashim, then it's a problem. For either, if you're either a father, son, and grandson, or mother, daughter, granddaughter, to marry three, men or women in different cases with the same name. So this is not exactly the same as our case. It sounds like he's not worried, it sounds like, about having a father-in-law and son-in-law with the same name. It sounds like he needs to have three generations, Mishulashim. So there's a little bit of a tension here. But he says, Harbe Kiyotze Be'ela, there's all sorts of cases like these where these marriages are prohibited. Afal Pi Shelo L'Nachesh, we don't do magic. It's usher to do magic in Judaism. We don't do these predictions of the future and worries about that. Still, Yesh Lachush, you should still worry about this. V'lo Nomar Alzeh Tamim Tiyya. We shouldn't say the pasuk in Dvarim, Tamim Tiyya Hashem El Kecha. Just trust Hashem. Don't have all these complicated calculations and, you know, predict the future and try to... Just trust Hashem and follow the Torah, and that's good enough. We don't say that here. Here we need to be choshesh. Here we need to worry about these various relationships. This is this is what we have from Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid and Sefer Chassidim about all of these various prohibitions. Among them, at least in Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, the prohibition against having a son-in-law marry a woman if he would have the same name as the father-in-law. Or the same thing for a woman marrying a man if she'd have the same name as her mother-in-law. Question? So I don't know to what extent Rabbi Yehuda Chassid knew about those Sephardic practices, but notice the Sephardic practice, the standard Sephardic practice, is to have, you know, either have a child be either named after the parent or grandparent. And it can be alive. That's different, though, than having the same name as a father-in-law. Or having a father and son marry a woman with the same name. It's different. Right here, your blood relatives having the same name. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid never says that there's a problem with that case. Right? You'll notice. He never says there's a problem with that. So I don't think even if he were aware of the Sephardic custom, I don't think he would have a problem from that. Right? Because he doesn't seem to have a problem with it. Why not? I don't know. We're going to have to try to figure out what the basis is of this problem. What would you say, just looking at what we've read in various contexts? What would you say? What's the problem? What's the worry? Sorry, the worry is arayos, a mix-up. Okay, so I think you're saying the same thing. The worry is, and this is not in the earlier literature, but one of the 20th century acronyms suggests this. Maybe there'll be some worry that if they have the same name, maybe they'll end up with confusion. There'll be some sort of arayos that it would lead to. That might be an explanation. What is there anything in the text of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid that sounds like he might be worried about that we can point to? Ayin hara, which would write the evil eye. What would that lead to? What effects would that cause? Right, because he keeps saying, in general, well, among these cases, he says either someone's going to die or it's not going to be successful. So why might that be? That might be because of Ayin Hara, and there's different understandings of Ayin Hara, but let's say, Ayin Hara, you're sort of tempting the Satan, right? You say, look, we have this wonderful family, and we have this Rivka who's wonderful, and we have that Rivka who's wonderful. Too many wonderful Rivkas, you know, the Satan is Mekatreg. All of a sudden, or you could say Ayin Hara is based on people seeing it, and, you know, maybe davening, you know, there's the Rambam view, I don't know if Rabbi Yehuda Chassid would subscribe to it, but at least in theory, right, people see, oh no, this family, they're so successful, I'm so jealous, I'm going to daven for them to be punished. So maybe something like Ayin Hara that would lead to these negative results in one form or another. Yeah. Okay, so this also, I don't think, we don't have it in the earlier sources, but some later Achronim suggest that that's the reason as well. Maybe the issue here, it's not necessarily Ayin Hara, it's not that we're worried about Arayos. The real worry is, let's say, you know, everyone's over Yontif, everyone's in the same house, and, you know, the husband says, Rivka, come here. And so if he was just talking to his wife, well, maybe he shouldn't say, come here, maybe he should say, please come here, I don't know. But it's not respectful if his mother, his name is Rivka, to say, Rivka, come here. That's not appropriate, that's not respectful. And the Rambam writes about not referring to the name of one's parent or one's Rebbe, even if you're talking to someone else, right? So you should be careful about these things. So maybe that's part of the worry here, right? If you marry a woman with the same name as your mother, or if a woman marries a man with the same name as her father, there's a chance of calling to their spouse and the parent being home and that being disrespectful. Maybe that's why just better not to enter these marriages. That's another view that some Achronim suggest. So there's a variety of views of what the reason is. Let's think now about how these halachos are received, how they're accepted, how they're, you know, are they paskined or not? Because as I said, and I think as was pointed out, there's no, the Sefer Chassidim is not quoting any source for this. And the reason why he's not quoting any earlier source is because there aren't any. Right? There's no Gemara. There's no earlier Rishonim he's quoting. This is, you know, his own idea. Where might he have gotten it from? So, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik has a very interesting article about Sefer Hasidim and that broader the whole movement of Hasidei Ashkenaz, where one of the things he talks about is this idea of Ratzon Habore, the theme of Ratzon Habore, of the will of the Creator, of doing Hashem's will. That comes up a lot throughout Sefer Hasidim. Very often they'll say, we do this practice because that's the Ratzon Habore, or one should always aspire to fulfill the Ratzon Habore. And one of the things he points out is that, there's two different ways of arguing for something religiously, generally speaking. One is to say, this is the halacha, here's the source, this is why you have to do it, therefore you should do it. That's one way. The other way is to say, well, I don't have a makor for you, I don't have a source, but, you know, we as a community, we've understood God's will. We understand Ratzon Habore. And that's why, or at least we have an idea of what it might be, and we want to make sure that everything we do is going along the path of what the Ratzon Habore is and doesn't diverge from it. And if you have the Ratzon Habore on your side, you don't need a halachic source. That at least is part of the argument of Sefer Hasidim. Let's see how well these views are how well they do, so to speak, how accepted they are in later halachic and Jewish literature. Okay, that's the plan. So if we look, speaking generally, Sefer Hasidim is quoted in a bunch of halachic sources that are later on. You know, he makes it, the Beis Yosef quotes him a bunch of times, makes certain halachos of his make their way into the Shulchan Aruch. In this case, the Shulchan Aruch does not cite, Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch don't cite these halachos, with a couple of some of the details maybe that are cited by the Knesset Hagdola. Knesset Hagdola of Chaim Ben Venisti in the 17th century, a commentary on the Beis Yosef. So I included three places where I found that he quotes Simon Tuf Ayin Zayin on various halachic issues. In number three, She'ein Lasos Chupos Shtei Achayos B'Shavua Echad, not to have two sisters get married the same week. In source number four, in terms of Katlanis, which is, that actually is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, a much longer discussion of, and it's really in the Gemara, it's an earlier issue, earlier cited issue about Katlanis, the black widow in halacha, a woman who has two or maybe three husbands who've died in various circumstances, maybe she shouldn't get married anymore. So in some of those halachos, the Sefer Hasidim gets quoted, although again, that's an issue that comes up much earlier. And then in source number five here, it talks about how four people shouldn't dalet shadarim b'vayis echad sheshmam yachad lo yatzlichu hem ozarim, Sefer Hasidim. Knesset Hagdola cites this idea that people with the same name, four people with the same name, shouldn't live in an apartment together, etc. So various parts of this siman in Sefer Hasidim are quoted as early as the Knesset Hagdola, and as we'll see in a minute, by the relatively early in the period of the Achronim, people were citing this halacha about marrying, not marrying, a man not marrying his father-in-law, a woman not marrying her mother-in-law, and trying to figure out what to do. And maybe the strongest opposition to this halacha in the Sefer Hasidim comes in source number six from the No de Yehuda, Rabbi Cheska Landau of the 18th century, a great posek, No de Yehuda, one of the most important Sifrei Shut quoted all over the place, extremely influential. So what's the view of the No de Yehuda of these prohibitions of Sefer Hasidim? So he writes, this is actually a tshuva he got from his student. Tshuva lechvod ahuvi talmidi yedidi Rav Muflag, Rainer Rav David. Fine. So this is his tshuva to his student. Halayla zeh higi'ani michtavcha sherat ha-shol b'dvar ha-shidach ha-medubar l'gisascha im ben Torah. V'yachsein rak shebe shas chalyo ha-shinui shem shalo hu k'shem a'avi ha-besula. Fine. So he says, I got this letter from you about a shidduch that you want to have, with the Ben Torah, some of the name of a certain name, and the name was changed when he was sick. But it turns out his name is the same as the Kala's father. So exactly our scenario, with the one difference that the name wasn't originally that name. The name was changed, right? The potential chassan had his name changed when he was sick, as is often the practice, or you had Chaim to name, you changed the name otherwise. So it wasn't his birth name, but he had the same name as his potential father-in-law. So this is, right, this is, so what should this relative of mine do? Should he marry her or not? That's the shaila that the notary gets from his student. So he responds, Ahuvi Talmidi, Lule Ahavascha, if I didn't like you so much, Ein Darki Lahashiv Binyanim Ke'elu, Dvarim She'ein Lahem Shoresh B'Talmud V'Poskim. You know, I usually don't respond about halachic issues that don't have any basis in the Gemara or in the Poskim. Very strong language, right? No basis at all. I usually ignore these things. But I like you so much, Achgoda Avaska Hotziani Chutz L'Gidri. I'll make an exception just for you, because I like you. You're such a great Talmud. I'll even answer this question that I usually would ignore. Okay. Da Talmidi Hachaviv, V'yu Dvarim Halalu Chakukim Aluach Libcha. Right? I want you to listen well. Etch these words onto your heart. Alezichron Haklal Hagadol. She'ein l'kol chachamim, she'achar ha-Talmud, reshus lomar davar, neged ha-Talmud. There's no one who's post-Talmudic, no one after the Gemara, is allowed to say something against the Gemara. Sounds pretty reasonable, right? It's a very important principle, but the Noah Yudah is saying this is extremely important. Don't forget this. Okay. Ve'omer davar listor, kotzo yud mi divrei ha-Talmud, lo yechashev b'klal chachmei Yisrael. Anyone who wants to take away even, you know, even the tip of a yud, the jot of an eye from the Gemara is not among Chachmei Yisrael. You're outside the Mesorah if you want to do that. Ve'omnam kishanu motzim echa miChachmei Yisrael hamuchzak b'Torah v'yira bli safek. We find such a well-established Torah scholar with Yira Shemayim shekasav b'sefer davar sosu d'vriat Talmud chayavin anu l'mashkunei navshin l'taritz dvarav shelo l'taritz dvarav. We need to try to understand if someone who's a well-known Talmud Chacham does say something that looks like it's against the Gemara, we have to explain how this could be. We have to explain how it's probably not actually against the Gemara when we understand it properly. Shelo ledaber rak l'sha'a o l'mishpacha pratis v'divrei ha-Talmud heim al ha-klal. Right, so probably in those cases when there's a conflict, the person who's speaking isn't saying in general something against the Gemara. They're saying something in their particular circumstance for their family or with some other limited scenario. That's a general rule. Ukiyotzi b'zeh anu motzim l'Rabbeinu Yehuda Chassid b'tzava shelo dvarim shekim'at asur lanu l'shoma. In Yehuda Chassid's tzava, he says some things that it's almost usur to hear it. We can't even hear these things. It's so problematic how against the Gemara it is. Kihu ama omer shelo yisa b'ahta choso. He says, we saw this in source number one, the first line, you can't marry your niece. You can't marry the daughter of your sister. Uvigmara amru shehu mitzvah. The Gemara, though, says it's a mitzvah for someone to marry the daughter of a man to marry the daughter of his sister. Mitzvah not in the sense that one has to do it, but in the sense that it's a good thing if one does it. And just jump ahead to take a quick peek at source number 14 on the bottom of page 2. It gives a whole long description about different things in marriage that are good, that are bad. On the about halfway down that second line, it says, V'hanose espat achoso, etc. Olav akatsuv omer az tikrav Hashem yane tishava v'yomar ineni. If you marry your niece, the daughter, if a man marries his niece, the daughter of his sister, the pasuk says, you call out, Hashem will answer. It's good. Hashem is very happy that you marry your niece. So how is Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid saying that something the Gemara says is good is actually usur? How can that be? It's almost usur to listen to this. It's so extreme how against the Gemara it is. So that's one example. Another example, hu omer shlo yeshev abuvno lo yisa abuvno shtei achayos. A father and daughter shouldn't marry two sisters. Rav Papa ubno nasu shtei banos shel abasura. But Rav Papa and his son married two sisters. So what? Rav Papa is against the halacha. How could that be? Hu omer shlo yisu shnei achim shtei achayos. Two brothers shouldn't marry two sisters. Uvigmara shmonim zug achim kohanim nasu shmonim zug achayos kohanos. The Gemara says the exact opposite. If jump to page 2 again, source number 11 here. Asur v'yitzchak amar ir haisa ir achas haisa v'yisrael v'gufnis shma, the city of Gufnis shahayu ba shmonim zugos achim kohanim nesun shmonim zugos achayos kohanos. There were 80 pairs of two brothers who were kohanim who were married to two sisters who were the descendants of Kohanim. 80 pairs. All 80 pairs were breaking the halacha. How could this be? Rabbi Chassid, how can you say it's us over two brothers to marry two sisters? Vitrei bante de Rav Chista abu nasvi nesivi l'rami l'mar ukva bar chami. Ukiyotzi b'zeh b'tzavai, many more examples of things that he prohibits in terms of these marriages that are against Gemara's. V'imhaya ha-chasid, a mitzvah, mitzvah b'tzavah azu, l'chol Yisrael, hariyu sosu l'debrei ha-talmud, v'haya asur lanu l'kabel, dvar av klal. If we should understand, and now this is a very important methodological question, tzavah is Rehuda ha-chasid, Rehuda ha-chasid's ethical will. Who is that meant for? So if you think it's meant for all of Yisrael, every Jew should look at tzavah Rehuda ha-chasid and follow it, then you have a major problem, says the Nod Yehuda, because his tzava is explicitly against the Gemara. The Gemara says, it's a good thing for a man to marry his sister's daughter. Rehuda ha-chasid says it's asur, and other examples like that. How can he go against the Gemara? It must be tzavas Rehuda ha-chasid. Rehuda ha-chasid's ethical. It's not talking to the whole Jewish people. It's specific advice that's meant for maybe his family or something like that. But it's not. It can't be speaking generally, because then it's against the Gemara, and that can't be. So let's see how he resolves this. Avala emes yore darko. The truth will come out. The truth will resolve this. Ki achasid lizaro achrab tziva lidore doros. He was just talking to his descendants. Yudah chasid, this group of chasidei Ashkenaz, they were saying, for our family, it's not good to marry your niece. It's not good to have a father and son marry a son-in-law and father have the same name. For our family, this is not good. We shouldn't do this. Ki rab ruach hakodesh, Shezaro lo yatzliach bezivugim kaila. He saw with his Ruach Kodesh that wouldn't be successful for their family. Uvezeh eino soser divrei Talmud. He's not going against the Gemara. Shehu ala klal. The Gemara is speaking generally. V'divrei ha-chasid hi ala prat. Rehuda ha-chasid is speaking specifically to his family. There's no problem there, right? He's saying, in terms of generally for the Jewish people, this is fine or good. For my family, we shouldn't do it. We have some special family minhagim. Hachada. Maybe, unless you think about the whole overall context. It's a tzava, it's an ethical will. So very often a tzava is what you give to your family. Maybe it's within our family, lo yisadam. But it's a fair point. It's a fair point. And, I wouldn't have said what the Nodi Yehuda said unless the Nodi Yehuda said it, which he did. So it's definitely not the first thing that comes to your mind when you read it. I agree. So that's hachada. That's one answer. That's one answer that would be for this fellow who asked the Shaila, he'd be able to marry because Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, he's not a descendant of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. It's not relevant to him. And also, if we recall our theoretical fellow from 9 years ago, would also, right, let's assume they're not a descendant of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. I can confirm that. And as far as I know. And so then that would be fine. Okay, going on. That's one answer. But Odamin, another answer. Shebelav hachi b'sheila zo, sheshaltani, ein kan chshash klal. In this case, it's not a problem at all, even if the person was a descendant. Why? We're talking about the name that's given at birth or at bris. That's when you have issues with having the same name. His name was changed when he was sick, remember. So that wasn't his birth name. So it's not even the son-in-law and father-in-law don't even have the same birth name. It's the son-in-law's name that was changed, and the father-in-law's birth name are the same. So that's not really a problem. And he gives a couple of proofs about this, about the added name only being for good, only for bracha, not for ra, not for a bad thing. Let's jump down now to six lines from the end of this source, towards the end of the line after the bechule. Umeata ani omer kiyotze bezeh b'tzavas ha-chasid hayom. Hayom yikach ish isha ulamachar yichalav yishtan shmo l'shmoch l'shem chamiv v'yagarish b'zeh isha u'yachush kol yom v'sakana v'ein zeh darchei noam. He says this idea, if you really think that a name that you change can be dangerous, how does that make sense? If you have someone who's married and they get sick and they change his name and the new name is the same as his father-in-law, now he has to worry about getting sick again or about dying or has to get divorced. That's not darchei noam. In the Torah we say darchei noam. This scenario wouldn't fit with that, so it can't be that's what Rabbi Yehuda Chassid meant. V'lo nesiv shalom. Havadai shlo haisa kavanas ha-chassid el al shema etzem shu shema risa v'lo al shema mischadish. It's only if the birth name of the son-in-law is the same as the birth name of the father-in-law, then there's a problem. And now a little bit of sharpness, of charifus thrown in. Umuvad kol zeh. I gave two reasons why it's not a problem, but I'll add something else. L'fi mechtavcha, rotzeh chosancha l'ischatein, im tzur b'mer abanan, v'shomer mitzvahu. The son-in-law wants to marry into a family of where the father-in-law is a Talmud Chacham. He keeps the Torah. He's very firm. He's very good. Vitzmihani al rov ha'olam. I'm very upset. Or I'm surprised that at so many people. Shalaseis bitam le'am ha'aretz who pashed etzlam vein choshesh lehimana. They're definitely fine with marrying off their children to Amaratzim, to families of Amaratzim. That they're not worried about. Vu nega divrei Chazal. It goes against Chazal. Sha'amru ki'ilu kofsa manicha lefnei ari. It says it's like putting your child in front of a lion to marry them to an Amar. It's very strong language in the Gemara. Hu lischatin im tzuba mirabanan, marrying a Talmud Chacham, shishmo, where the father and the son have the same name, then all of a sudden they're worried. Heim sholim, velo tehet Torah shlema, shalanu kitzava ba'alma. They care more about some random tzava ba'alma, a Rebbe Chassid, than they do about our Torah, about the Gemara. How could this be? V'lachem l'dati yigmar chosancha shidduch hazeh, they should finish, the shidduch got married, v'yasa masa l'shem shemayim, do everything l'shem shemayim, everything will be great. Let's just take a look at the Gemara he was referring to, about not marrying an Amma Aretz. That's on page 3, source 15. Tanu Rabbanan. V'olam yimkor adam kol ma sheyesh lo v'yisa bas talmud chacham. First, do everything they can, sell all their possessions to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham, to marry into a family of Talmidei Chachamim, of keeping Torah. Lo matzabas Talmud Chacham, yisabas gedolei ador. Gedolei ador, he doesn't mean what we use it to mean. It means someone with a lot of tzidkus, following halacha properly, as the Mefarshim point out. Lo matzabas gedolei ador, yisabas Rosh Knesios, someone who works in the shul, presumably is very firm. Lo matzabas Rosh Knesios, yisabas gabay tzedakah, the tzedakah collector. Lo matzabas gabay tzedakah, yisabas melamedei tinokos, at least a melamed who's teaching Torah, even if it's it's the children, whatever exactly the hierarchy is here. The point is, all the examples are people. The goal should be to marry someone who is full of Yiras Shamayim and Talmud Torah and keeping the Torah. That's and there's some gradation depending on you try to optimize that. Fine. But what should a person not do? V'lo yisabas amei aretz, and it's very strong language here. V'nei shein sheketz u'nushosein sheretz v'abnosein u'omer aru shochev v'mkol behema. Wow, it's a little very extreme language in the Gemara, but it's actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch. So in source number 16, definitely the overarching idea. L'olam yishtadel adam lisabas talmud chacham u'lahasi bito l'talmud chacham. Always try to marry into a family between chachamim. And it gives the whole list. Lo matzabas tamu chacham, yisabas lo yador, matzug lo yador, yisabas rosh knasios, lo matzabas rosh knasios, bas gavet tzlaka, lo matzabas gavet tzlaka, yisabas lo yitinochos, ve'al yasi bito l'ama aretz. And the Ramah quotes the rest of the Gemara. And he throws in, u'mitzvah la'adam, sheyisabas achosel. So it's very cute. I assume the Noda B'Yehuda was thinking about this, that both the point about marrying, about it being good to marry one's niece, and about marrying a talmud chacham, two of the main sources he uses against Sefer Chassidim are in the same line in the Ramah, or in the same line in Shulchan Aruch, here in Siman Beis. So the Noda B'Yehuda comes out very strongly against applying Rebbe Yehuda HaChassid in practice. Right? What are his arguments? Let's just review quickly. It's only meant for the family of Rebbe Yehuda HaChassid. In this case, it's not even the same as the birth name, so it wouldn't be applicable. And then this more general point of, why do you care so much about a tzava'a, and you care so little, or people in general don't seem to care so much about the general idea of marrying into a family of Talmidei Chachamim. They sort of have their priorities upside down. Right? This new idea that the Rebbe Chassid came up with, everyone's so worried about, and something in the Gemara, an old source, a classical source, people are less worried about. And actually, source number 17, totally different issue, but really the same approach of the Noda B'Yehuda. V'alarvias amar shol b'nusuch l'shem yichud. Someone asked the Noda B'Yehuda about how to say l'shem yichud, like in Sfiras HaOmer or anywhere else, right? We all hear people saying l'shem yichud z'brichu, etc. When counting Sfira or other times. So that's not in the Gemara, that formulation. That was becoming popular around the time of the Noda B'Yehuda, and someone asked him what the text is. So let's read this just to get a sense of a broader picture of how the Noda B'Yehuda thought about these new halachic ideas that sort of came to light. Valarvias Omar Valarvias Asher Shaal Benusak L'Shem Yichud Asher Chadashim Mikarov Nispashet V'Nidpas B'Sidurim. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, they started publishing these L'Shem Yichuds in Sidurim. Hinim Ezani Meshiv Ad Shata Shalani Nusach Amiraso. Don't ask me what the text is, what the proper nusach is. Yoseh Roy L'Shol Im Nomar Kitov Bamiraso. First, you should ask me if we should say L'shem Yichud. Maybe we shouldn't say Ladati is a ra'achola bidorenu. It's this terrible sickness. We shouldn't. We have this real problem. Valdorish lifnei zmanenu shlo yadui nusach zeh. No one ever heard of this in the past. It didn't exist. V'lo amru. No one ever said it. V'hayu amelim kol yomim b'torah b'mitzvos. Hakol al pi haTorah al pi haPoskim asher divrayim novim mimakor ma'im chayim yamat Talmud. Previous generations, no one said l'shem yichud. They just followed the Gemara. They lived wonderful Torah lives following the Gemara. Aleim nemar tumas yisharim tanchim. They follow the straightness of the straight. They're led properly. Behem heim asher asu pri lamala v'gadol me'al shemayim chastam. All these wonderful things. That's what we always did in the past. Aval b'doreinu hazeh, all of a sudden our generation, ki azvu es Torah Hashem. Very strong language. They left Hashem's Torah. Mekor ma'im chayim. Shnei ha-talmudim v'bavli v'yerushalmi. Lachto lem boros nishbarim. They left it behind, the Gemaras. They came up with these new things, these new wellsprings of that are actually broken wells. Umisnasim berum levavam kol echad amar anochi haroa. I'm the prophet. Velinif tchushari shemayim. I have access to heaven. Ubaavuri olam miskayim. Elohe machrivi ador. These people are destroying the generation. This is again extremely strong language, even stronger than in the halacha we saw before. Veladora yasum haze ani omer yisharim darche Hashem v'tzadikim yelchubam v'chasidim yukashlubam. Now notice he modified the pasuk, right? But he says the pasuk is poshim yikashlubam. He says chasidim yikashlubam because chasidim were the main source of l'shem yichud. He's a big from the big misnagdim, the Nodeb Yehuda, and he says there's more to say without going into detail on this. And one could give a whole shiur about l'shem yichud and its development and the responses to it. But we see this is Nodeb Yehuda l'shitaso. He's very consistent. His view is if it's an old standing thing in the Gemara that people have kept for a long time, that's the Torah, that's what we have to put all our energy towards. If it's a new idea that, you know, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid or the 17th, 18th century Hasidim later on come up with, if it's a new idea, it's probably not from our Masorah. It's probably something we don't need to do. Maybe it's a family minhag that some people had that's not relevant. Maybe it's something that we should oppose with full force, like L'shem Yichud. It's not part of the Masorah. So that's the Nodeb Yehuda, that's the strong opposition to applying Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. And of course, we shouldn't overstate this. Many achronim said that we should be concerned with Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid to one degree or another. And so, with our remaining time, we'll look at a variety of other achronim, a variety of other sources that more or less accept, or at least in some cases accept, this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, or this ruling of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid about not marrying someone with the same name as one's in-law. He accepts it. They accept it in theory, but they give some limitation of its application, or some reason why it might not apply in at least some of the cases. So the Chachmas Adam, he brings this down in his halachic work. Lo Yusuf Bachar Zakena Velo Yeled Yalda Zakin Yalda Shadavar Zegorim Luznus. Find other Mikol Malkum in Isra Davar Im Shteim Rutsim. That's a different halacha that he brings in together. But then he says Va'ayim Besefer Chasidim. Has 22 halachos about who to marry, who not to marry. We saw some of them. This idea of not marrying a woman where her name is the same as your mother's name, o shmo kishem chamiv, or his name is the same as father-in-law's name. That whole halacha that's in Tzavas Rehuda HaChassid, in source one that we saw, who davka kishem mishulashim. That's only if it's three generations. Remember, when we saw sources number one and two, there was a little bit of a tension. Source number one just said, don't have the same name as your father-in-law or mother-in-law. Source number two said it needs to be Mishulashim. So how do we deal with that? He says they're talking about the same thing, and let's continue. K'on adam sh'shmo Ruvein mechasno sh'mo Ruvein, v'mikach od chasan ze'ach chasan sh'shmo Ruvein azai lo yatzliach. If you have three generations of Ruveins married to a grandmother, mother, daughter, then you have a problem. Kevin Shu Meshulash, because it's tripled, it's three times. V'chein Yishma Rivka v'chulei, v'chein Kasav L'hedja b'sefer Chasidim, v'olam toim b'zeh. Everyone gets confused. Everyone thinks there's a rule, according to Tzvas Rehuda HaChassid, against marrying someone where you have the same name as your in-law. That's not true. The rule is only if it's three generations. And that's why, if we just flip back quickly, you have to read source one in light of source two. You have to read Tzvas Rehuda HaChassid of the father-in-law or mother-in-law. He's only giving you half the story there. He gives you the full story in Sefer Chasidim, where he spells out that it needs to be Mishulashim, it needs to be three generations. So that's why there's a little bit, right, those two sources, one and two, didn't say exactly the same thing. And the Chachmas Adam says, of course it doesn't say the same thing. One of them is complete, the other one's not. And the real worry is about having three generations. If it's less than three generations, there's no issue. So maybe you can keep Sabbas Ridu and Chassid. You can keep this halacha of Sefer Chassidim as long as you don't end up with three generations. Yes. Okay, so if you want me to expand a little bit, I'll just quickly, because we're short on time. But it's been argued that the Nod Bihuda, his opposition in both those cases that we saw, his opposition to things that are not in the Gemara, that are not in classical halakhic sources, right? Both the Sefer Chassidim and, like, L'shem Yichud from the Chassidim. Some argue that that's driven by worries about Shabtai Tzvi. If you know, in his time, he was the Kasav HaShlishi, he was the most accepted person when there was this huge fight between Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz about whether the latter was a sabbation, was following Shabtai Tzvi. Nod Bihuda was the one who resolved it. But there was a lot going on, a lot of Kabbalistic ideas that were taken in the wrong direction. I think, you know, every Jew will tell you, whatever you think about Kabbalah, it definitely was taken in the wrong direction by Shabtai Tzvi. Right? So the Nod Bihuda was very worried about that, arguably. Innovation, this idea of innovation based on Kabbalah, I have some special access. And that's why he was very opposed. He was opposed to Chassidus. Again, maybe just because he was because of worries about it going in the wrong direction, arguably. He was opposed, obviously, to anything that was clearly Shabtai Tzvi. And he even said we should limit the influence or accepting something from Yehuda HaChassid if it's not in clear sources. We need to have clear sources, a clear Masorah going back. That's what will prevent Shabtai Tzvi or similar things from taking root. So that's what some historians have argued is part of what's pushing this. Not exactly the Shidduch crisis, but maybe the Mashiach crisis of the time, right, where Shabtai Tzvi v'chulei. All right, going forward, so the Chochmas Adam has a resolution that really it's much more limited. Sabbas Ridu HaChassid is only talking about if it's three generations, it's much less of a worry. Not everyone accepts this point. Source number 19, the Beis Sha'arim from the 19th century, responding to the Chachmas Adam, if you look just in the second long paragraph here, Lefinis Daiti Lo Daku Rabbanan behind Bilsa, B'simin Tafayin Zayin Lo Mayri Benosei Yishas Shema Kishem Imo Rak Shema Kishem Eishas Aviv She'eno Imo Uvizeh Eino Asur Rak Mimishulashim. He points out there's actually another discrepancy between sources 1 and 2 that we're not going to look into closely right now, but the way he wants to say there's two separate halachos. One halacha is you can't have the same name as your in-law. So you can't marry someone if they're, you know, a man can marry a woman if her father has the same name as him, and the flip side. There's a separate halacha about, doesn't have to do with parents, it's not about your spouse's parent, it's about your parent's spouse, Eishes Aviv, right? So it's not about, so it's a totally different halacha, and that halacha is only Mishulashim. So you shouldn't have a grandfather, father, son, married to three women with the same name, regardless of if they're each other's parents or not, right? Regardless if the father and son, if the current wife of the grandfather is the mother of that grandfather's son, it doesn't matter if she's the father or the mother or not. All that matters is, the person has a case where he's married to a woman with the name Rivka, his father's married to a woman with the name Rivka, and his grandfather is, regardless of whether any of those Rivkas actually fathered any of those. So there's two separate halachos. One is about the parent of your spouse, and the other one is about the spouse of your parent. The spouse of your parent needs to be three generations. The parent of your spouse, only two. So, you know, that would reinstate this idea that one's father-in-law, you know, a theoretical person who wanted to marry a woman where the father-in-law had the same name as him would be a problem. So there's a little bit of a debate there, although the Chachmas Adam is fairly well cited. Moving to another source, this is the Shev Yaakov. Yaakov Popper is in the 18th century, quoted in the Pischei Tshuva, source number 20. So he talks a little bit. He talks a little bit about the worries here and says, you know, should we worry about sakana and chamir zakanta meisura? So we should be more worried about this than in general. On the other hand, there'd be a major loss, and they already started the marriage. So let's just look at the last three lines. The Heshiv, Masherotza Avi Abbas, Levatel Akishur, Machmas Tzavas, Ridachasa. They want to call off the Shidduch because of the Tzava. Einzek Hidai Levatel Ashidduch. Avshiyesh Lachosh Lechachila. Okay, you should be Choshish Lechachila. Better not to have gotten engaged. But once you're engaged, don't call it off. We call Machmas Bedieva in Levatel. Hold yesh safek im lazaro levad kimavur b'tzava hanal. Maybe it's only for his generation, so it's a safek. V'kevin shekvar nasa havi kimo lohotzi v'ein motzi in mina safek. Once you're in a safek, you know, you're ready, I mean, even though you're not married yet, you're engaged, you're sort of already there, and we don't, because of a suffix, we don't undo something. And he's clearly not worried about the sakana, right? Often, in a case of sakana, in a case of danger, we'd say suffix by sakana is l'chumra. He doesn't understand it in that way. He's mekil. Some people don't even worry l'chakila. You should worry l'chakila, but not b'diavad after you're engaged. So that's sort of a middle position. The Chassam Sofer has a couple of very important points that we'll look at quickly. In the same name, you're worried about that, but otherwise it's a good shidduch. So he says, "Man de lo kapid lo kapdinam behadei." He says, quotes a line from the Gemara Pesachim about Shadim, if you're not worried about it, it won't bother you. If it doesn't bother you, it won't bother you. It's not a problem. So the Gemara says that there about Shadim in a certain context. He says it here about this worry, about worry about having the same name as your future father-in-law. If it doesn't worry you, it's not a problem. Not an issue. But prati ikans chus Torah. Here, you're marrying to a good family. They're Torah dika yidin. Dafilu ad base Eli miskapir b'Torah. Even base Eli, there was a curse that the descendants of Eli wouldn't live long lives. But the Gemara says they ended up, some of his descendants ended up living long lives because they kept the Torah. So the Torah should protect you here too. And then he says, really, I didn't find this worry in Sefer Chassidim. He really says, Lo yisa av v'aben v'aben shlosha nashim shishmos shloshtan shavos. It's really three generations. Lo nimtza davar v'zeh chibur shalim chassid shmamina deleka k'peda b'midi achrina v'zivugam ola yafe, etc. So this is a funny, let's bring it back to our case. So in this theoretical scenario, 9 years ago, the Chassan happened to be in Muncie, where the Kala's family was living at the time, and someone in Shul was talking about, they said, the same name, your Shlomo Yitzchak, their Shlomo Yitzchak, you have to ask a Shaila. You have to ask a Shaila about this. So what would you say, according to the Chassam Sofer? Would it be better to ask a Shaila or not to ask a Shaila? Right, according to the Chassam Sofer, if you're actually not worried in the first place, if you don't think that there's some danger that's going to come your way, you really shouldn't ask a Shiloh. As soon as you ask a Shiloh, you're worried about it, and then maybe the answer is going to change. Right? As long as you're not worried, it's mutter. As soon as you start worrying, then maybe it becomes usser. And in fact, the Stei Chemed, Rav Chaim Medini in the 19th century, has an encyclopedic work that he didn't finish, but he goes through all sorts of Talmudic terms. So he writes that when he entered his community, they weren't knowing any of these things. Everyone married, father-in-law, same name, didn't matter. And he's thinking to himself, should I start telling people, oh, there's this inyan of not having the same name as the father-in-law? And he said, you know what, better that I shouldn't bring it up, because as soon as I bring it up, they'll start worrying, they'll actually make it worse. It'll become a problem. It's not a problem unless you make it a problem. So I think the Stei Chemed would be of the view, better not to ask a Shaila, assuming you're not actually worried. And assuming, of course, that there's all these other reasons not to be worried, as we've seen. Still, source 22, the Pisgei Tshuva, cites that the Chassam Sofer, even though he himself says, if you're not worried, don't worry, he himself in one case said someone should change their name to try to fix it. In their case, maybe that was a case of someone who was worried or didn't have Schus Torah to protect them. Fine, let's skip now to our final source. Source number 26, because we're short on time. The Igros Moshe, or Moshe Feinstein. And he wrote about this issue too. Who would have guessed that this issue came up in America? And maybe it's different in America, as we'll see in Rav Moshe. So, b'davar she'echa wrote to Lisa Isha Shishmak Hashem Imo, kasha lahashe b'zeh davar barur, ki koma she'dibra achorim b'zeh, hu misvaras halev b'alma. Below makor, he says, hard to respond to this, there's really no makoros, there's no early sources, everything's sort of just your own svara. But okay, I'll do the best I can. B'av she'b'zeh ish yoser chshash k'di'is b'divri chayim, the Rechaim says to worry more. Some people quote that the Ari was choshish about this, although we don't have that in the Kisvei Ari, but some argue that the Ari was worried about this as well. The Ari was famously not a descendant of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, because he just wasn't. So it's not that would presume that it's not just for the descendants of Yehuda HaChassid. So maybe there's some reason to worry. As long as there's some difference in the names, either in Hebrew or in English, there's no worry. So theoretically, If the son-in-law went by Shlomo and the father-in-law went by Stephen, theoretically speaking, then there wouldn't be a halachic issue. According to Rav Moshe, the English name counts as well. Acha Itzah, who's Karis, Pesachei Tshuva, and so some people say you should maybe change the name to solve the problem. And if we recall, Rav Yehuda Chassid himself said, change the name, and will that work? Maybe. So some people suggest to change the name. What does Rav Moshe think about that? We saw that the Chassam Sofer, according to the Pesachei Tshuva, changed the name. Ein ze klum b'medina zu. In America, doesn't work. Shelo yikru osa b'shem ha-chadash. Da yikru osa b'shem ha-angli. You change someone's name in shul, you make a mishaberach, say you're changing their own name. Does that work? No, everyone knows that, you know, it's Rivka or whatever, Ruchi, whatever her name is. Everyone's going to call her that name, or her English name, probably Rebecca. Right? They're going to call her Rebecca. They change her name to Sprinza. No one's going to stop. All her friends aren't going to start calling her Sprinza. It doesn't work in America. You change the name. They still use the name that they were using before. It won't actually make a difference. Shekenu Shma ben Yaros Hamedina, that's your name on paper. Sheken Regilim Hamedina, so you're in Korin Af B'Shem de Me'arisa. We don't even call you by your halachic birth name. You have some other English name or other name that you go by. So it doesn't even work. Fine. So he says a bit more about that. And he says maybe try to get them to change the name in practice, but he's not, doesn't think it'll work necessarily. And now jump to the last two lines. V'chol mikevan she'achasam da'atzma v'akala ba'atzma ein makpidin. The chasam and akala, don't worry, ein aklum. Doesn't really matter. It has like dola amrinan mand lo kapid lo kapdinan ukbenas ha'em ein shayach lekan. It doesn't matter if the parents are worried. All that matters is that if the marrying husband and wife, the chasam and akala, are worried, that's what matters. Kichshashu le'em elosh chasam akala. The mother-in-law is not going to get in trouble. The married couple are the ones who are going to have the trouble. So they're the ones who need to be choshesh or not. Kevin she'em ein makpidim. In this case, they're not worried. Ein le'em malahakbid bezeh yedido. Moshe finds, he says, no reason to worry if the couple themselves aren't choshesh. Other poskim talk about if they're different spellings or if the second name is different. There are other possible heterim in terms of the names. Just to quickly summarize, what did we see? We saw a revolutionary new halacha of the Sefer Hasidim. And it seems to asur father-in-law and son-in-law having the same name. And it's dangerous in one of the various ways that we mentioned are able to lead to other things. And even though this is cited by some sources, the Nod Yehuda takes a very strong anti-stance. He says there's no early sources. We can't just come up with new halachos. And in any event, maybe it's only for the family. And as we saw from the Chachmas Adam, maybe it's only if it's three generations, various other heterim, as to how this goes. So in practice, if you ask poskim, you'll probably get different answers from different poskim. Actually, I'm pretty sure of that. Maybe in different communities also. So, of course, ask your local Orthodox rabbi if you're choshesh, according to many poskim, but not if you're not, and if this comes up. But I think one of the things that comes through, I think according to everyone, is the most important thing in a shidduch is making sure that it leads to a proper Torah family. And these chashos, they're whether one should be choshesh or not, or mitigate them, or whether they're applicable or not, we should make sure to keep in mind the Gemara standards about marriage as well. And going back to our theoretical scenario, Baruch Hashem, Ziva Gezola Yafe, and that's at least one way of approaching the Rabbi Yehuda Chassid.